Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 23 and 24. Canto 9, chapter 5. 24 on the board. Gate tadurvasashi sombharisho. Dvijo payo gati. Dvijo payo gati pavitam pavitram aharat. Rishir vimoksham vyasanam chaviksha. Mene svaviryam cha paranubhavam. Gateta durvasasi sombharisho. Vijopayoga tipavit. Tram aharsat aharat. Rishir vimoksham vyasanam chaviksha. Mene savirjam cha paranubhavam. On his return. Ata, then. Durvasasi, the great mystic yogi Durvasa, Saha, he the king, Ambarishaha, Maharaj Ambarish, Dvija Upayoga, most suitable for a pure Brahmana, Ati Pavitram, very pure food, Aharat, gave him to eat, and he also ate. Rishyehe, of the great sage, Vimoksham, release, Vyasanam, from the great danger of being burned by the Sudarshan Chakra. Cha, and Viksha, seeing, mene, considered, svaviryam, about his own power, cha, also, para anubhavam, because of his pure devotion to the Supreme Lord. Translation for 23, then 24. Durvasa Muni had left the place of Maharaj Ambarish, and as long as he had not returned for one complete year, the king fasted, maintaining himself simply by drinking water. 24. After 1 year, when Durvasa Muni had returned, King Ambarish sumptuously fed him with all varieties of pure food, and then he himself also ate. Means Durvasa Muni also fasted. And it doesn't even say if he drank water for that whole year. He was flying in space. Must have been hungry. When the king saw that the Brahmana Durvasa had been released from the great danger of being burned, he could understand that by the grace of the Lord, he himself was also powerful, but he did not take any credit for everything had been done by the Lord purport. A devotee like Maharaj Ambarish is certainly always busy in many activities. Of course, this material world is full of dangers that one has to meet. But a devotee, because of his full dependence on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is never disturbed. The vivid example is Maharaj Ambarish. He was the emperor of the entire world and had many duties to perform. And in the course of these duties, there were many disturbances created by persons like Durvasa Muni, but the king tolerated everything, patiently depending fully on the mercy of the Lord. The Lord, however, is situated in everyone's heart. Sarvasya chahamriti sannivishtaha. And he manages things as he desires. Thus, although Maharaj Ambarish was faced with many disturbances, the Lord, being merciful to him, managed things so nicely that in the end, Durvasa Muni and Maharaj Ambarish became great friends and parted cordially on the basis of bhakti yoga. After all, Durvasa Muni was convinced of the power of bhakti yoga, although he himself was a great mystic yogi. Therefore, as stated by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 6:47, yoginam api sarve sham madgaten antaratmana shradhavan bhajate yo mam same yuktatamo mataha. Translation: of all yogis, he who abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. Thus, it is a fact that a devotee is the topmost yogi, as proved by the dealings with Maharaj Ambarish and Durvasa Muni. So the events described in these two verses are just repeating something that was already described. The emphasis, the purpose of repeating the same event is for purpose of emphasis, and the emphasis is Maharaj Ambarish, Maharaj Ambarish is in a position greater than Durvasa Muni, which is kind of what the problem was to begin with, because Durvasa Muni was thinking, I'm greater. I'm a brahmana, I'm a yogi, I'm a learned person, here's this king, everyone's respecting him more than me. What's going on? I'm going to fix that problem. And in the end, the devotee, Maharaj Ambarish, is clearly in the greater position. And why? He's clearly in the greater position because he has the particular favor, protection, empowerment from the personality of Godhead. He's as powerful as the personality of Godhead by the empowerment of the personality of Godhead, from A to Z, from the checking of this mystical fire demon created by Durvasa Muni by his mystic power, checked by the greater power of Lord Vishnu and Lord Vishnu's Sudarshan Chakra, protecting his devotee. And then in the end, it's Maharaj Ambarish offering prayers to Sudarshan on behalf of the king, on behalf of Durvasa Muni. And then his magnanimity of holding no enmity or holding no grudge or anything. He's in the greater position. Contrastingly, you broke the fast first, you die. And here is, oh, you've been inconvenienced by my neglect. So please excuse me. It's not that you have offended me, it's I've offended you because I broke the fast first. He's showing his qualities as an exalted person greater than the anger of, it's because Durvasa Muni, after all, is a partial incarnation of Lord Shiva, who has the characteristic, Lord Shiva, easily pleased, easily angered, and partial incarnation is also easily angered. And in this case, out of literally envy of the exalted position of Maharaj Ambarish, or the way that Maharaj Ambarish was being respected, higher than him, he didn't like it. So it's being repeated to help us understand this overall message of the pastime. the super exalted position of bhakti compared to yoga and gyan. That's taught in Bhagavad Gita, and here's the Puranic method is taking the philosophy or the teachings and illustrating the teachings through historical events. So that's the philosophical message. The position of bhakti is superior to that of yoga and gyan. Then another very important part of verse 24 is that the transparency of the bhakti of Maharishi Ambarish. We heard earlier that the intelligence of Durvasa Muni became lifted by the event that happened. He could then understand the position of Maharishi Ambarish, the greatness of Maharishi Ambarish, the greatness of bhakti that's mentioned in this purport also. He got that realization that greater than my mystic power and my position as a Brahma is the position of a devotee, especially a devotee of the caliber of Maharishi Ambarish. I got it. So his intelligence became illumined. Here, the intelligence of Ambarish became illumined, or the realization of, wow, powerful. But he wasn't taking credit for the powerfulness, the realization of how he was made powerful, and that he was made powerful by the personality Godhead became more acutely understood by him. But he didn't take credit for it. This is the personality of Godhead. I'm thinking of a nice section from Bhakti Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami, where he says, this position of the Lord's protection is sometimes manifest and sometimes apparently not manifest. And the example of it being manifest was with Prahlad, how he was protected by Lord Vishnu to such a degree that the most powerful Hiranyakashipu couldn't harm a hair on his body, although he was trying to kill him, and here also trying to kill him, protected. Then contrastingly, Jiva Goswami says, sometimes a devotee does not exhibit that, or the Lord does not exhibit apparently that potency of protection. And the example he gives is Maharaj Parikshit. He died by the bite of the snake bird, by the curse of the Brahmana. So two things. Because Lord Vishnu was upholding the word of the son of a Brahma, Dvijabandhu, Sringhi, the son of Shamakrishi, made this curse. So the curse went through. Although the Supreme Lord or Maharishi Parikshit could have done something else, so it didn't go through, as happened here. The effort of Durvasa Muni was blocked. Looks like, you know, the power of the Brahmana is checked by the Supreme Lord in order to protect the devotee Maharishi Ambarish. With Maharishi Parikshit, the power of the little boy wasn't blocked. He died. But, Jiva Goswami says, the total fixed position of the mind of Maharishi Parikshit, the undisturbed, totally undisturbed condition of Maharishi Parikshit, that was exhibited. The exaltedness of Maharishi Parikshit was exhibited according to the Lord's plan. So what's the message here? Sometimes protection comes this way, sometimes protection comes that way. Protection doesn't mean the calamity is over. In this case, the calamity is over, and they became friends, as Prabhupada is saying, on the platform of Bhakti Yoga, or on the basis of Bhakti Yoga. That means Durvasa became elevated in his bhakti appreciation, and they became friends on the platform of Bhakti Yoga, or the basis of Bhakti Yoga. It didn't happen with Sringi. He didn't become friends with Maharaj Parikshit on the basis of Bhakti Yoga. Something else happened. Maharaj Parikshit went back to Godhead. And Janamejaya, his son, became the next king. Though some plan of the Lord. Who can understand why this in this case and that in that case? Who can understand the plan of the Lord? But the exaltedness of one who has taken full shelter of the personality of Godhead is always there. Although the drama or the scenario may play out this way or may play out that way. And once again, the position of Prahlad Maharaj, and as here the position of Maharaj Ambarish being protected, there was no pride. Oh, I'm special. Easily can happen. And so Prabhupada's comment is, in the life of a king, so many duties. You know, who knows what it's like to be the king of the world? My goodness, how complicated. Of course, it's Satya Yuga and things are far more orderly than Kali Yuga. But still, king of the world. So many difficulties. And Prabhupada is using here disturbances. It's so many duties, so many disturbances. He persevered through those duties and disturbances without his mind being affected. Why? He had full confidence in the Supreme Lord. And in the end, everything came nice. Supposing it doesn't look like it's coming out nice. I mean, going back to the first canto, or the whole of Mahabharata, but specifically canto 1, chapter 9, where Bhishma is speaking to the Pandavas, so many difficulties. Or Queen Kunti's prayers prior to that, so many difficulties. But again and again, Krishna was there. Like at the edge of the cliff and falling off the cliff, and there's Krishna catching, pull you back off, back onto the ledge. Seemingly impossible circumstances being corrected. So if this can happen with the Pandavas, even Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Lord, it's Leela, of course, but the difficulty isn't, you know, Krishna, you forgot me. That's not it. The devotee doesn't lose faith in that Krishna connection. Very important. In the end, it'll be all right. In the end, may not be how we would want the script to go, or the drama to play out. May not be how we would write the script. But Krishna's protection is there. That's our life in devotion. And it can go this way, and it can go that way. Like Sudama Brahman. It can go this way, it can go that way. And Krishna is very kind, or Krishna is very kind. The nature of a devotee is they have full confidence in that. That's the internal potency, taking shelter of the internal potency. We're in Krishna's hands and we're safe. Fearless. Abhayam. Just like Prabhupada's name given by his father, Abhay. Fearless. Danger? Sure. Fearless. And each of us, far as I know, each of us gets examined. We get our tests. Get our challenges. I don't think anyone would raise their hand and say, I've never had challenges. It's never happened. Everything's smooth. commensurate with our capacity and our, the means to help elevate us and our sincere desire to be in our relationship with Krishna, Krishna will take us through those situations and always give us the strength, and always give us the strength to meet the circumstance depending upon the nature of the challenge that we have. You know, looking around the room, I'm aware of some challenges some of you are passing through, and those that aren't in the room, aware of challenges persons are passing through. So it's fantastic. We're getting examined by Krishna and given strength by Krishna to deal with that. Just read something by Bhaktisiddhanta. One who is blessed by Krishna, their path of life is something like paved with thorns. Oh, blessing. You step on a thorn, you know how it hurts. Right? Like circumambulating Govardhan Hill, there are patches where there's thorn trees, and you know there's going to be thorn in your foot. And sure enough, then how do you take it? Besides, ouch. So one of the ways to take it is, Krishna is very kind. He's giving me the opportunity to take this thorn in my foot so that other pilgrims won't have to have the thorn in their foot. I'm doing this service for the other pilgrims so they don't have to step on the thorn. I'm accepting that service on behalf of them. Just as when Ram was to go to the forest and told Sita, see you later. How can you talk like this? You know, you're the knower of Dharma, and my instruction from my father, Janaka, is to always be by your side. How can you say, stay back? I'm going to be with you, and I'll walk in front of you, and whatever hard stones and thorns on the path, or with my feet, I'll make the thing soft so that when you can walk behind me and you won't have any inconvenience. Let me do that service. There's different ways of taking the circumstances of hardship, because just, you know, in one sense, there's persons behind us who are seeing by our example how we deal with circumstance. Or for the next younger generation of devotees to be able to take away obstacles so the younger generation of devotees have fewer obstacles, etc. And there's so many ways of thinking how to be in service to the Vaishnavas while we're passing through some obstacles. I'll be more qualified to be in a position of full shelter of Krishna, so that whatever relationships I have, the circle of friends and persons around me and so forth, there's a deeper well or reservoir of depending upon Krishna element within my heart. And then I'll, even if I don't say anything about it, it's just there, and it'll make my association better for others than if I'm don't have that reservoir of dependence upon Krishna in my heart. I have a better association for others. Circle, friend, family, friends, associates, etc. Just as Ambarish, we'll end with this. Ambarish is serving the world. And disturbances and difficulties and complications, he takes them in stride, tolerates them, understanding that the kindness of Krishna is there. It's somehow for the good, although I may not understand the somehow part. Faith doesn't waver. Faith is essential to go forward in life, and certainly in the life of devotion. Let our faith be nourished by the thorns that enter our foot and it hurts. Any discussion?
Maharaj, so many times I catch myself getting disturbed for even small things. At that time, I don't understand that it's small, but afterwards I realize that it really didn't mean a lot in the, like in long term, it doesn't really value much. So, like what can we do to not get disturbed for like small things?
Well, several. Don't place value in the mind. There's a set of verses, if I can remember correctly, Canto 5, Chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. I think that's where it is. I was just thinking about it this morning. The mind. That's one. Another. So if you don't place value in the mind, what do you place value in? You have to know what to place value in instead of the mind. Transcendental teachings. There is shelter there, not the mind. Then the intelligence goes there, the mind go there. So, tolerate. That's another Bhagavad Gita instruction. And if you tolerate, it's similar. You don't invest in the temporary, you invest in the eternal. You have to go somewhere. If you tolerate, where does your attention go? To the eternal. Knowledge, another one is, in general speaking, knowledge leads to detachment. Knowledge is received in the mode of goodness, so in the mode of goodness, there's some detachment, and you can look at the big picture and see this is a small thing. But if you're in ignorance, the small thing becomes big, especially the mind makes it magnified. And then that's the reality that we live with is the mind and the bigness of the small thing. Because we lost picture of the big picture. You know, the mission of life. Then another is that just the general hearing attentively of scripture, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, regularly hearing. You know, then the affinity for Krishna becomes stronger, and the fear of that arises from affinity from the temporary subsides. The reality becomes our life rather than illusion. Cultivation of bhakti takes care of it. Yes.
It was very inspiring when you said we can see how we can be of service to the generation that is coming forward. So like, what can we do now to see how we can be of service to the coming generations?
Yeah, that's so, reality.
So I was thinking from my position, where I am, how do I see what is it that I can do for the generation to come
forward?
There you go.
So here's a practical one. You're facing a difficulty. Not everybody knows the nature and the depth and the, you know, inside and outside of the difficulty. But to some extent, the difficulty. So now, I'm a young person looking up at an elder person. And what a wonderful example. I can see, I don't know the details, but I can see what a wonderful example and feel inspired and strengthened in Krishna consciousness. They don't know the inside. They don't need to know the inside. I'm just thinking of one particular example. I mean, it's something that happened recently when there was supposed to be a wedding and then there was a flood in the basement and then there was, you know, maybe they can't have the wedding. And Preeti Menon remained undisturbed and somehow made sure that it happened, even with all the difficulty and all the difficulty and all the difficulty. That's instructive. She may not have been thinking, I'm doing this because I want to show by example to younger devotees how to deal with an unprecedented calamity. You know, people were coming from all over the place and what, you know, what are you going to do? But, you know, she wanted the wedding in front of the deities. And because she's who she is, people rolled up their sleeves and said, let me help you make it happen. Like that. So, as an example. And so, you know, you're a different person with a different set of circumstances. And that, now, how can I be in service to others that I don't even know? And they don't know me. But how can I be an example for them? And as so that's for you, and then it's each one of us. A life of service to others that we know and we don't know, to please Krishna. That's powerful. And it makes the mind steady. Although the tendency is otherwise. Just to focus on the problem and get absorbed in me, myself, and I. And lose the bigger picture. Life of service to Krishna, and meaning to others who are Krishna's parts and parcels, is powerful. And then when there's, like this, when there's success, don't take credit for it. That's a tough one. And then when there isn't success, you know, how to handle that, that's another tough one. There's only one resolution. We're at the mercy of Krishna in his service. He can move us on his path of life. We make choices, of course, but let them be qualitative and devotional. And then whatever the consequences are, we accept that's part of the kindness of Krishna. And stay like that. That's service to others. The life of a Vaishnava. It's for every one of us in the room. Different services. Yes.
Guru Maharaj, there is obstacles that we can. It becomes easier to tolerate obstacles when you have a service. And then the obstacle comes and, you know, blocks your easy flow in the service. So one, you know, keep doing the service and tolerate the obstacles and things like that. That's one scenario. The other scenario is that the obstacle doesn't allow us to do our service. For, you know, condition, we desire to do this service, but because of this condition or these difficulties, whatever it is, we cannot do it, or we're not able to do it. So it doesn't look like you should tolerate that. You feel the frustration of not being able to surpass this obstacle. So how do you deal with those situations? You
know? Well, supposing the obstacle doesn't go away. Like health. I know some devotees. that have health difficulties. It doesn't go away. As, for example. In any those or any other circumstance, it's not just overcome the obstacle, re-render some service that addresses the circumstance that appears to be an obstacle, and it may be, you know, an opportunity to realign ourselves externally or internally, or both, with Krishna. To serve Krishna in this circumstance or that circumstance. Or it could be learn something about myself, that the circumstance is providing me an opportunity to learn something about myself. Or the opportunity, third, is giving it an opportunity to take deeper shelter in Krishna, not just like overcome the obstacle. The goal is not just overcoming the obstacle. The goal is taking, you know, deeper shelter of Krishna and accepting the arrangement that Krishna has for me. It's a very important lesson in bhakti. It's not simply overcome the obstacle. Maybe. But overcome the obstacle may be just taking deeper shelter of Krishna, and then the obstacle is still there, but my consciousness is with Krishna, and that's the purpose. So many varieties of things Krishna can do, and Krishna is not a cookie cutter God. He does what's best for us. He's the expert physician that has more than one medicine in his medicine bag. Very customized.
Hi, Krishna Guru Maharaj. Question similar to some of the questions that have been asked.
Mm.
But oftentimes, I notice when I'm going through difficulties, there's a lot of pain involved, either physical pain or emotional pain or mental pain. And often how I try to deal with the problem is to try to make the pain go away, to try to find some arrangement to make the pain
go
away. But I'm not exactly sure if by doing that I'm taking shelter of Krishna. I'm wondering about the nature of what it means to be sheltered by Krishna, because you made one point that says when the Lord is protecting his devotees, the calamities may not necessarily stop. They'll continue.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, are there any signposts or signs or symptoms to know that despite the pain that I'm experiencing, that I am taking shelter of Krishna?
Put your hand in your bead bag, start chanting the Maha Mantra and see what happens. You follow. You take up the primary processes of bhakti, and see, is the shelter taking in the primary processes of bhakti going on or not? I'm thinking of just repeat these Prabhupada stories over and over again, because I find them very instructive. One devotee had pneumonia early, the Hare Krishna movement, and they were in a hospital. And then, those days, there was literally an oxygen tent over the upper half of their body so they could breathe because they had pneumonia. And Prabhupada came to visit them in the hospital. And the devotee shared I can't chant. I can hardly breathe. I feel so badly. I'm not able to do my chanting. So the problem didn't go away, but the merciful Acharya said, it's okay. Chant in your mind. If you can do that. But, you know, the first business is, then he gave this for me, which is a famous instruction, or, you know, first comes health, then comes your sadhana, then comes your service. So address your health needs. So then you have an instruction to follow, and you just follow the instruction. So now go back, you know, there's pain, the physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain, or whatever it is. Now how do I know? Your question is, how do I know if I'm taking shelter of Krishna while I'm passing through that pain? Take up the primary activities of bhakti and see where your attention is going. You know, whether it's, again, you know, thinking of people in the room and people outside of the room and myself, you know, difficulty, whether it's pain or not. When you take up primary activities of bhakti, where is your attention going? Is it distracted or absorbed? That tells you the answer to your question, whether it's pain or otherwise. And generally speaking, intermittent or mixed, unsteady in our particular stage. A mix. Some. And a mix. We want relief of pain, please. Not like bring it on. We want relief of pain, please. So what should we do in the position of bhakti? Say it's physical pain, like you had this long period of physical pain. Maybe you still do, I don't know, to some degree. You take up a method of addressing the cause of the pain, and you make a Krishna conscious effort, and you bring your mind to Krishna, because I'm serving according to the means for relieving the physical pain. And you have to, the rest you have to tolerate. Tolerate means you give your attention to principal activities of bhakti as far as you can. Take shelter of Krishna as far as you can, given the circumstance. And then, you know, emotional and mental pain, same thing. Take shelter of those that are wise and help you address the emotion or the mind behavior, just like this question about the mind. And take shelter of the instruction to the capacity that you have, and move on with the, bring your attention to the primary activities of bhakti with faith. Access to Krishna is there. Krishna will hear, Krishna will, and I'll feel, exactly as it says here, you will feel, no, excuse me, this is the last verse of chapter 8, Bhagavad Gita, you'll feel Krishna conscious, Prabhupada writes, you'll feel it. Someone won't have to tell you, now you feel Krishna conscious. Now your hunger is gone. Repeat after me. My hunger is gone. You'll say, you know, I don't need anything more. I'm full. You'll feel it. You'll feel Krishna conscious when you're passing through the physical, mental, and emotional turmoil. So there's a mix, generally, for us. But with faith, we cultivate shelter in Krishna. That's the stage we are in, sadhana. The goal, please Krishna. Not the goal is relieve the pain, please. The goal is please Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.